Everybody, it's 6:30, so I'd like to call to order the December 4th meeting of the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board. Would you all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We ready, Irene? Would you please call the roll?
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mrs. Lucas.
Here.
Mr. Dolny.
Here.
Mr. DeMaria.
Here.
Mr. Scully.
Here.
Mr. Davis is excused. Mr. Freeman.
Here.
Mr. Olsner.
Here.
Mr. Lemon.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a quorum.
All right. Thank you very much. Our first item of business is the approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting, November 20th. Are there any questions or corrections?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. All right, we'll move on to our public hearings. We have three tonight. The first one is a setback variance for 59 Fawn Lane. Mr. Tyner, would you take it from here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, everybody, board members. Yeah. Good evening, everybody. This is an item that was continued from your last regular planning board meeting. The request for continuance, both from city staff and the applicant, to analyze the staff report. It is really a unique piece of property, and we wanted to take some time. So your staff report is actually going to be a little bit different than the last one that was continued. This piece of property on Fawn Lane was actually approved back in 1988 via a special exception from a single-family house to an office building. And when we became a city and we did our first city-wide rezoning, of course, this was zoned to office. What's particularly about this piece of property and how it's unique is that not only is it a legal non-conforming with the setbacks with office, but the adjoining property is also unique in that it is owned multifamily but have a zero setback line on property line. So that's very unique to Palm Coast. So city staff wanted to analyze a bit more, and work with our legal department and looking at the criteria. And for this unique piece of property, as you know, we look through the criteria of our land development code, what is required for variances, and city staff is actually pretty strict about if we don't meet all of the criteria, we would recommend denial. In this case, we have analyzed this piece of property and the criteria and our recommended approval subject to some conditions. But with that said, Mr. Bill Hoover will provide the staff presentation.
Good evening, everyone. Bill Hoover, I'm a senior planner in the planning department. The property 59 Fawn Lane is located about a third of a mile north of Palm Coast Parkway on the east side of Florida Park Drive, and more specifically, it's located at the northeast corner of the intersection between Florida Park Drive, the entrance to Holland Park, and also the Fawn Lane where it intersects with Florida Park Drive. The owners have applied for a variance requesting a 5.4-foot variance from the 10-foot required east side yard setback that would allow a deck to be installed behind the existing structure and extend no further to the east than the existing building. Both the site's lot size and existing east side setback are legal but non-conforming. The future land use map shows the subject property to be mixed use, as well as the property to the north and the south along Florida Park Drive. To the east is residential in the yellow area, and to the west, where Holland Park is, it's institutional. This is our zoning map. You can see again that Holland Park is Parks and Greenway is the zoning designation. To the east of the subject property is multifamily residential one in brown, and the gray area is DPX for duplex. The subject property is zoned limited office, or OFC1. And this shows, this is the rear of the building where they're proposing a coffee shop and a bakery with some outdoor seating on this deck. And you can see that the existing structure, according to the survey, is set back 4.6 feet. And if they set back 10 feet, it would be almost up against that second wall there, where the 10-foot setback line is, and you could see that there's not very much deck area available if they did use the 10-foot setback. If they kept a large tree there and the sidewalk going into the rear entrance, you might get, let's say, two tables outside there. So by having the larger area, it actually helps one other thing. In the afternoon, when the sun starts getting lower, the shade is going to shift to this area between the 4.6 or foot setback and the 10-foot setback. These two pictures, again, are from the rear of the house. You can see the home to the east. It was built on the property line. There's no windows or doors on that side, which is customary when you have a zero-foot setback. And you can also see behind the home to the east, they've erected, I believe it's a 6-foot wood fence. According to Land Development Code, there's 5 criteria that you have to meet, and it's not multiple. Like, if you get 3 out of 5, you're good. Okay, well, a lot of criteria, it's sort of like, you know, if you get most of them, you're good. And on a variance is typically pretty difficult, not only in Palm Coast, but in other communities. We have 5 criteria, and the planning board needs to find that these are criteria are all being met. First criteria is special conditions and circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land, use, or building involved and which are not applicable to other lands, uses, or buildings in the same zoning district. And staff determined this was easily met since the building was constructed in 1977 at a 4.6-foot side yard setback when only 3 feet was required. In 1988, Flagler County rezoned the property to O1 or office, and then later on, after 2000, the city initiated their official zoning map, and the property was designated limited office, or OFC1, which had the larger setback of 10 feet. Second criteria is the special conditions and circumstances are not self-imposed and do not result from the actions of the applicant. Again, this is pretty easily met in staff's opinion, since the future land use map for the property has been changed by the city to mixed use and the zoning has been changed to office. Third criteria is literal interpretation of the provision of this land development code would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in this zoning district under the terms of the land development code and would work unnecessary and undue hardship on the applicant. Staff determined this criteria was also met since the site and building setbacks are both legal and non-conforming. If you construct a deck in the rear of a structure that meets the side yard setback of the existing building, this is a normal condition whether it's a single-family residence or if it's a commercial building. The neighboring home to the east was constructed on the property line and has only about a 3.5-foot setback on the east side of their approximate 42-foot wide lot. The fourth criteria is the variance is the minimum relief necessary that will make possible the reasonable use of the land or building. Staff's opinion, this is also met since this would allow the deck to be placed behind the building and not intrude any further into the side yard setback than the existing structure. If the deck was located 10 feet away, it would be difficult to have sufficient deck area while retaining the large 3-foot wide, 36-inch diameter oak tree. Planning staff's proposing a condition on their recommendation that the large oak tree cannot be removed as long as it remains healthy. The fifth and last criteria, the granting of the variance will be in harmony with the general intent and purpose of this land development code, and that such variance will not be injurious to the area involved or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare, or injurious to other property in the area. Staff determined the last criteria was also met since the land development code promotes the redevelopment of properties. The property owner directly to the east purchased a home with a 0-foot setback on the west and a 3.5-foot setback on the east, but yet wants this property owner to not construct a deck within 10 feet of the property line. And the property owner to the east provided a letter that was provided to the planning board members. And they also stated that the neighborhood was too crowded. And it seemed a little odd to me if you move into on a 42-foot lot and you got 0 setback on one and 3.5 on the other, that you're sort of saying that crowding is okay because you bought into that neighborhood. The staff is proposing conditions on the usage of the outdoor deck that would not be required if the applicants had not requested a variance and instead had just applied for a building permit using a 10-foot setback. They would be doing that by right, so we would have no way to impose any conditions. The applicant met the 14-day requirement of sending out letters via certified mail to the three abutting property owners, and this was done for the November 20th planning board, which was then continued. Staff has received no calls or emails from the public except for the neighbor that lives directly to the east. Planning staff recommends that the planning board approve application 4157 that requests a 5.4-foot variance setback from the required 10-foot interior side yard setback based upon the findings in the staff report and the testimony and evidence presented herewith, which would allow the deck to be constructed with a setback of 4.6 feet with the following staff recommended conditions. One, the applicant provide install 6 3-gallon evergreen shrubs within 10 feet of the east property line. Two, no outdoor music would be permitted in the patio or deck area. Three, the patio and deck area would not be open for dining between the hours of 7 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock a.m. And four, the large oak tree with the proposed deck area shall be saved until it's no longer healthy or becomes a hazard. The deck area would have to be constructed as a cutout around this oak tree. And the applicants are here this evening, and they do have a PowerPoint presentation.
All right, thank you, Mr. Hoover. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Hoover? Okay, Ms. Lucas.
What is the age of that tree, if you have any idea?
Well, up north we used to say 1 inch a year, mm-hmm. but talking to the city arborist, she actually ran into a tree that was I think, 6 feet across, and she say it's 8 years for 1 inch once the tree hits a certain point. So they sort of grow fast, but then at that, after a certain, maybe at the 6 or 8 inch mark, they slow down. So if you hit 36 times 8, that might be 250 years.
Wow.
So quite old.
Do you project any problem, interference with the infrastructure, with any underground utilities or anything of that nature?
No, because everything's there, and so putting a putting a deck on the top of that should, usually the decks are raised maybe 6 inches or maybe 8 inches with like 2x6 PT lumber on the side, and then they'll have the deck on top of that. So I wouldn't think there would be a problem installing the deck and the other improvements. And we, on the evergreen trees to put in, we provided them a lot of flexibility on where those could go, so that, you know, if the neighbor to the east needs to paint their house or do some kind of maintenance, that we wouldn't have those shrubs in the way. So they would use their best judgment on where to put those shrubs so that it worked best for them and provided a buffer, you could say, between them and the residents to the east.
Who would bear the financial responsibility of any, moving the tree or addressing any problems with that the tree might propose, might offer?
Well, if the tree's on your property, and correct me, Mr. Tyner, if I'm wrong, you're responsible for maintaining it.
Yeah, if it becomes a hazard, and, you know, if trees get old, and, you know, if it's rotten out, and, you know, what they would do is request for a permit for a tree removal, or our arborist would go out and take a look at it and verify that it's not healthy anymore and provide a permit to be able to get the tree down.
So no changes in the responsibility of who would take care of the tree?
I'm sorry?
No changes in the responsibility?
No.
Of who would take care of the tree?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Hoover? All right, we'll move on to the applicant's presentation. Come on up to the podium. State your name and address. And
hi, everybody. Fatima Senna. My address is 26 Vernon Lane, Palm Coast, Florida. I'm a resident of Flagler County.
You can just say next if you want, and I'll move them for you.
Yeah. Well, there's the pond project. There's the subject property. In April of 2019, I should also say that I'm a local real estate agent broker. I have my own brokerage here. So I'm very in tune with the local economy. I've been here for over 20 years, me and my family. I'm here representing the Fawn Project, but I also am co-owner, and we have all the other owners here available for questions as well and concerns. So the property here, as you see it, all those images are the current condition of the property. When we purchased the property, that is, that's the top picture right there. It was basically used as a storage facility for a dentist who sold the adjoining property, the VF, where the veterans now house their location there, and we're right next door to that. So they were just using it for basically storage, antiques, whatnot. It was dilapidated when I went in there for the first time. As we took some walls down, as you can see, the place was termite infested. There's foundation cracks everywhere. Really, the whole place needs to be gutted, regardless of who purchases the property, whether us or someone else. I fell in love with the project. I don't know if you had a chance to read the letter, but basically, I poured my heart out into it because I just wrote it. I'm an emotional writer anyway, but basically, I fell in love with this project, and everything that that drew me to this project was stated in that letter. So when I saw the property, and I've always dreamed of opening up a bakery. I love art decorating, anything like that. But amongst all that, what I love more is this community. I also own Empower Fitness, and we are a local gym, and we're very successful, and we love just pouring into the community. So I am an entrepreneur by heart. And what I'd like to do to this property, along with the co-owners that stand before me, we'd like to go ahead and just clean out the whole property, house a community coffee shop where people can come and congregate, form friendships, come from across the street, come enjoy a cup of coffee, maybe some baked items, offer something unique to our area that's not currently offered. We're not a chain. We're just basically residents of this county, just like everyone else here in this room, just looking to do something great for the community. We can go ahead and change if we can. Yeah, thank you. So the current status of it is we've got the demo work done, and so it has this beautiful fireplace in there, and I thought that that was going to be really nice for everybody to come in and enjoy a nice cup of coffee. Like I said, during the winter months, we'll actually utilize that fireplace. It wasn't being utilized at all. The property sat on the market for over 2,000 days before we came along and purchased it, with multiple offers falling through for various reasons, as stated on our letter as well. So as you can see, it's all cleared up. We're anxious to get going on the project, but we put a hold on it when all this came up, and we decided we wanted to put an outdoor deck so that people can walk across the street and enjoy something outside for Florida living. So go ahead. Thank you. So this is just some of the products that we plan on offering. We got coffee, we're going to have desserts, everything is going to be made in-house. We've teamed up, we partnered up with a roaster out of St. Augustine. They're already successful, already doing a great job and meeting the community needs there. We felt that they were going to be great partners to help us move this along too. So they're just some of the examples of some of the things we might be serving at our location. Next. Today we're here to seek a 5.4 variance. As also stated earlier, that regardless of whether this variance is approved or not, our hopes are that we get it approved. I think it would make for a nicer, more elaborate area that would make it more conducive to anybody who's coming in a wheelchair. They can get move around a little bit more freely in that area. As it stands right now, if we had no approval, we'd have limited space, and we would still do the outdoor deck. So I don't feel that the extra 5.4 feet would make a difference, other than the fact that we're able to accommodate more people. People can enjoy the outdoors. They sit underneath that beautiful oak tree, which, by the way, we chose to have someone come in. We had foundation issues, and we really thought it was the roots from the trees inside. We actually had a hole cut into the concrete, which it's not in any of these slides. But we did that because we really wanted to preserve the tree. And if the tree was going to be a hazard to the building or whatnot, we did what was required to do just to make sure that we can either save the tree or recommend taking it down. But we prefer to keep it because I think it adds appeal to the property, and it's been there longer than that home has. Next. So there it is. The future is bright. We're looking forward to opening up this beautiful project. I think it's a great location. Again, close proximity to the new Splash Park. It offers our community something a little bit different, maybe a little bit more of a St. Augustine feel. It was dilapidated, like I had explained earlier, and I would hope that the neighbors would support the project, as opposed to seeing a building that's just, given a couple more years, would have probably had to been torn down. And I just feel like that would be a shame, because it actually is a unique property, and I don't believe in tearing anything down that doesn't have to be torn down. Next. I think that's it. That might have been it. Is that it? All right. So, does anybody have any questions for me?
Yeah, if that's the conclusion of your thing, we'll open it up to questions from the board for the applicant.
Yeah, I got a question. On number two, we're talking about outside music be permitted in radio and a patio deck. Would it be concerned that was changed to no type of entertainment for the outside? Permitted in the patio or deck area?
No, because if you look at that property, and we went into this knowing this, we did our due diligence and whatnot, there's only 8 parking spots available in the back, so we're not going to crowd the place up. There's not even sufficient parking for any of that kind of entertainment anyway, so our thoughts were never to open it up to outdoor entertainment, to bands, anything of that nature, no.
And my thought is that what's going to happen to the tree, okay, the tree goes, we make that deck a little bigger, we can have entertainment now. Down the future, you know what I'm saying? That's my thought too. Mm-hmm. So,
well, only if it was approved. I mean, obviously that would be great. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to lie, I'd love to see that. But if it's not approved, it's not approved. I don't. You know, that's why we're here. We don't believe in doing anything that's not above board.
Okay.
So we're here for your approval.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions from the board? All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is a public hearing, so any member of the public that wishes to speak on this item can come forward, come up to the podium, give us your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes to address the board. There is a timer that'll be going, so please try to limit your comments to 3 minutes. Any member of the public wish to address the board on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing.
He's got one.
Oh, he's going? Okay.
Bill,
come on up.
Can you put the recommendation back up?
Sorry.
Oh,
it's frozen.
Is it frozen?
That's okay. I don't need it. Good evening, Council. My name is Norma Bippins. I am also a co-owner of the Fawn Project, along with my husband and Fatima's spouse as well. I just wanted to come up here and thank you for your consideration on the potential approval of our variance. I myself have, 13 Fulton Place is my address. I'm a long-term resident of Flagler County since elementary school. So you could say that I'm somewhat invested in this community as well. There are a few things that I would just like to mention in favor of this project that we have endured to present to our community. First of all, allowing this variance would just help to continue in allowing you to support a locally owned business by residents of this community who would like to see something that's a little bit unique. We do have several coffee shops around town, you know, like your Dunkin' and your Starbucks, but we feel that this type of environment is going to be unique to the fact that it will give you a more of a family-oriented feeling, especially because it's close proximity to the park across the street. So we would be able to provide, you know, areas of outdoor seating as well as indoor for anyone that's outside enjoying the beautiful Florida weather that we do get blessed with on a regular basis. The fact that our community is growing so great, I feel like this would also, again, just be another opportunity for the residents to be able to experience more of the Florida living that we do provide here. As well as, like Fatima had mentioned, taking a property that was once dilapidated and just kind of sitting with no real future because of the fact that the sell of the property was not moving along, I feel that it's a good opportunity for it to be revived and to just present an improvement. So I thank you for your consideration. Yep. Have a good day.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wish to address the board on this item?
Be brief. My name's Pastor Jeff Barksdale from Life Coast Church. I live at 11 Lavera Place here in Palm Coast. I've known these folks for 14 years, married, Adam and Norma. And as far as this group of people in the community is concerned, I've never really known any people who are more generous and caring about people in the community. And as far as issues with neighbors are concerned, I've only known them to bend over backwards to help, to clarify, to help people in whatever their needs are. And I can't see that this would be any different, whether there's a deck or not a deck. The heart that this group of people bring to the community. They're not just entrepreneurs. They care about people and they care about the community. And I have no dog in this hunt. I'm not invested. I'll probably go and get a cup of coffee. But it's to have a place like this right across from the park and be a unique family-oriented type of place rather than a commercial rubber stamp get them in, get them out type of shop is I believe the community needs more of that with the care and the love that this group of people would bring to that location. So I just wanted to share that if there's any concerns about neighbors, if I know these people like I believe I do, the relationship there would become even stronger by their sheer presence. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other member of the public wish to address the board?
Good evening. My name is Sonia Pagan Lopez, 6 Bill Place, Palm Coast, Florida. I am a real estate agent here in Palm Coast. I've been living here for 3 years. I am here to explain what, as a realtor, this would actually do for our community. Palm Coast is known for the little hidden gem of Florida, and to be able to support a small business in this area would be beneficial to our community, I believe. We are not the Starbucks, you know, or the Dunkin' Donuts. We are, the Fawn Project is going to be that mom and pop business that we love to see when we go to Old Florida, which is how I describe Palm Coast and Flagler County. You know, we haven't been destroyed and overpopulated like Miami or the Orlando area. And the residents and the people that come to visit here enjoy coming to that small community place. I have no vested interest outside of the fact that I would love to take future clients and people that are coming through, passing through to a place that is run by people who have lived here for over 20 years and who know the community better than a lot of people would. Small business and supporting those businesses are the foundation of what I believe Palm Coast is really made of. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, seeing no one come forward, we're going to close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for any questions or comments. Seeing none, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the application 4157 with the recommendation of the staff with the and to change the wording number two where it says to word out say no outside type of entertainment be permitted on a patio or deck area.
And that included the other special conditions.
The other special ones. The applicant shall install 6 gallon evergreen trees with 10 feet east property line. The patio and deck area shall not open for dining between the hours of 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. And the large oak tree with the proposed deck shall be saved until it's no longer healthy, become a hazard. The deck area shall be constructed on as a cutout around these, this oak tree.
Was there a second?
Not a second, but I just would ask why you're tying the hands of future development.
Yeah,
at that location. I just kind of...
Type of entertainment?
Well, they've already got a provision in here that says there's no music or anything between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. Now, suppose I have a child's birthday party and they come across from the park and I say we want to have a clown there that does something. You know, I think there are a lot of uses for a family-style place that don't need to be tied up at this time.
If
they wanted to do something at a later date, once this project, as we see it, is developed, they'd have to come back to this or some other governing body. So I don't see why we should have to tie their hands.
Well, let's say they have a party, have a community out there. And it gets wild or whatever during the day, or have a polar, some type of entertainment going out there. You know, I mean, it just opens up for future if
so,
it happens.
So just so we're clear, there's no second to the motion?
Correct.
No.
Not so far.
Okay. Are we discussing it further? Is that what we're doing, Chair?
We are discussing the motion, yes.
Yeah, okay. So basically what I'm seeing is a very small deck without these guys having to come down here and ask for this variance, where they could do entertainment and music within the code limits of Palm Coast right now without anything, except they'd have a real small deck. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I find it...
The tree, like I said before, if the tree comes down, they make the deck bigger, who knows they could put there.
I get it, but they can do that anyway. Okay, so
exactly.
Let's do this. Is there a second to the motion? All right, there's no second, so the motion dies. So does somebody want to offer another motion?
Yeah, I'll move to approve application 4157 setback variance with the conditions as written by the city staff.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Did you get that, Irene?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Will you call the roll?
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Mr. Dolney.
Yes.
Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Mr. DeMaria.
Yes.
Mr. Olsner.
Yes.
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
The motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. We'll move on to item 3. Items 3 and 4 are related. Are we going to have two presentations, Ray, or one?
Sir, we're going to have one presentation.
One presentation,
yes,
but
sir.
We will act on both items separately.
Yes, sir.
All right. Who's going to make that presentation? Jose?
Jose will. I'll do a little intro. Just wait for a second, Mr. Chairman. two items before you is an amendment to the Palm Coast Park DRI, and the next item is for an amendment to the Palm Coast Park Master Plan Development Agreement. Just a little bit of background. I know we, it doesn't seem like too long ago that we were before you for a modification to the Palm Coast Park Master Plan Development Agreement. Let me just explain a little bit about the what a DRI is, the Development of Regional Impact. It was actually approved in 2004. Development of Regional Impact at the time was required by statute, state statute, when you reach a certain threshold of intensities and densities. It was an approximate four-year-long process to go through the Development of Regional Impact application. The application contains probably two books about, you know, 2 feet wide. You know, I'm maybe exaggerating a little bit, but there's a lot of data. There's not a lot of analysis that goes in to creating the DRI, and not only is the city of Palm Coast involved with the Development of Regional Impact process, but you also had the Northeast Regional Planning Council up in Jacksonville, part of our region. You have the Department of Environmental Protection that is involved with the process. You have the Army Corps of Engineers that was involved with the process. You have, at the time, DCA, the Department of Community Affairs, now the Department of Community Opportunity, of Economic Opportunity. And you also had the local, St. John's County, Flagler County was part of the approval process. The Department of Historical Preservation was part of the application process. And the Florida Department of Transportation was involved with the process. So, you know, the final authority and the final approval, like I said, was in 2004 for the approval of the Development of Regional Impact, but it's years of going through the process of this application. And once the application is approved, ultimately by City Council, and I could say that this one had no objections from any of the other agencies that were involved with the review of the process of the DRI. But what that does, it provides the applicant assurances that those entitlements, the densities, the intensities that were reviewed by all the agencies that I mentioned, that they are granted those intensities and densities. So that is done. There is, part of this process or any modifications come before us, you know, of saying you need to, you know, do this type of building, you know, you can't have multifamily here or can't have commercial or industrial there. This was all approved back in 2004 with the DRI. Now this, and the school board, I failed to mention the school board part of it too, a part of that process. But, you know, very typical with DRIs and, you know, the adjoining master plan development agreement that goes with it, it is a 30-year plan, okay? So this will not be the last modification to the DRI, and it won't be the last modification to the master plan development agreement. You know, there is some flexibility within the DRI and the master plan development agreement to grow with the changes of the community, grow with the market conditions. But all the environmental issues that are with the DRI and the conservation areas and the wetland areas, those are preserved. They've been looked at by the other agencies, the transportation network. This applicant and the original owner contributed well over $7 million just for transportation improvements even before the project even started. So, you know, Jose Papa, this modification, there are some changes to it, but Jose, again, will have one presentation for both of the modification, but he will provide the details. But I thought it's important to tell you kind of the background of the DRI and the history of it. So,
thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of the board. Jose Papa for the Community Development Department. Just a brief background again. The Palm Coast Park DRI is a 4,700-acre project located on both sides of US 1, approximately about half a mile north of Palm Coast Parkway and south of Old Kings Road. Portions of this DRI does touch Old Kings Road and also Belterre Parkway. The current future land use map designation for the DRI is DRI Mixed Use and Conservation, and its current zoning designation is that of Master Plan Development. Under the proposed amendment of this application, the first there are a couple of things. The first amendment is to allow residential and the business and institutional areas, and that would be those areas identified in magenta. The other thing about the proposed DRI amendment is to clarify the process for addition of lands to the DRI. There's already a process, but it's just to reiterate what that process will be. The third bullet, it adds a condition that right-of-way for PV grade on which our wastewater treatment plant number 3 is on PV grade. And so we will get the right-of-way from the owner of Track 17 when the time comes. It adds a condition to dedicate a wastewater easement on Track A, on which the city has a wastewater utility line. It revises the condition for fire station sites in lieu of 2 3-acre sites. We are to receive 1 6-acre site. It revises the process for conversion of entitlements and requires public, and this change is to require a public facilities analysis for any conversion of entitlements. And finally, to memorialize the status of DRI conditions, which Mr. Tyner mentioned to you previously about certain conditions that have been met by the developer. Under the DRI, Florida statutes, DRI are reviewed for consistency with a comprehensive plan. We find this proposed amendment to be consistent with a comprehensive plan, based consistent with the mixed-use land use designation, which is intended to provide opportunities for residents to work, shop, and engage in recreational activities. The proposal to add residential uses in the business and institutional areas create opportunities consistent with the intent of the mixed-use designation, to not unnecessarily separate non-residential and residential land uses. We find it to be consistent with the policy for that land use patterns will be required to be efficient and not disproportionately increase the cost of providing and maintaining public facilities, as well as providing housing and transportation strategies that will foster energy conservation. Again, the opportunity to provide residential and non-residential uses within proximity to each other will help foster that energy conservation by encouraging residents to walk and bicycle to those services that are provided within the non-residential uses. Additionally, those business and institutional tracts which are proposed to potentially host residential units are located along a major arterial with existing water and central sewer service, along with a trail network that will again encourage bicycling and walking. And finally, the proposed areas here are served by infrastructure. It is available, and so the proposed amendment is not proposed within an area not already served by infrastructure. Our findings from our review, we find it to be this amendment to be consistent with a comprehensive plan. We find no additional impact on previously identified protected areas. As Mr. Tyner explained earlier, those areas have been set aside and identified and set aside protected by conservation land use. There's a positive impact on the economy by bringing those additional rooftops that should encourage more retail to locate and services to locate adjacent to those residential uses. It's compatible with the surrounding land uses. Palm Coast Park is a mixed-use development. The proposed expansion of residential uses is consistent with surrounding uses, and that there's a legitimate public purpose to promote a mix of housing opportunities in the city of Palm Coast. At this time, staff will recommend that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board recommend that City Council approve application 4165. Moving on to the MPD development agreement. In this case, here's a summary of the proposed amendment. The first request is to permit residential medium density use on Track 22. Second request is to permit residential high density use on tracks 15, 17, and 20, which are all located on the west side of US 1. To permit commercial tract on 17, which is located on the west side of US 1. And this DRI does permit industrial uses, and what this amendment will do is to clarify that industrial uses will be limited to tracks along US 1. With a development agreement amendment, we reviewed for consistency again with the comprehensive plan and land development code. We find this to be consistent with the comprehensive plan. Policies to promote opportunities to provide housing opportunities near services. Consistent with policies that proposed uses are along the area served by infrastructure. Its consistency with surrounding land uses. Again, the tracks along US 1, south of Matanzas Woods Parkway, permit a mix of uses, including residential. So this amendment is consistent with that existing condition. The commercial use proposed for Track 17 is consistent. Track 17 already permits office and industrial uses. This just adds commercial to that mix, or retail, as more commonly known. Track 22, which is along Belterre Parkway, is across the street from a mix of institutional uses, such as a church, fire station, a future park site, and single-family residential. The residential medium provides for density and height limitations that serve as transition, appropriate transition from single family residential and institutional uses, and that residential medium permits a height of maximum height of 45 feet with a maximum density of 10 dwelling units per acre. And again, your industrial uses will be limited to US 1 parcels, which sits on that major arterial known as US 1. So findings. The amendment furthers division within the MPD to create that mixed-use community with a variety of housing types, along with a mix of non-residential uses. And two, the amendment will not result in additional impacts to the environment or natural resources, since the amendment does not propose to increase the developable area of the project. Again, reiterate that wetland environmental studies were conducted as part of the original DRI approval. So it's a consistency with land development code criteria. Again, not in conflict with the public interest. It's consistent with a comp plan. There's no significant liability or hardship for the city. The proposed development does not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance or constitute a threat to the general health, welfare, or safety of the city inhabitants. And the project must still comply with other local, state, or federal regulations. At this time, the staff is recommending that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board recommend that City Council approve application 4087. And again, we're at the beginning of a process here, with the next steps being an additional public hearing for the DRI amendment to the City Council. You have two readings of the Master Plan Development Agreement for City Council. Other future applications. For any parcel or tract within this DRI, there is still need to be site plan, technical review, or plat approval, and further on, building permits. At this time, staff is open for questions.
And also, we also have the applicant ready to make a presentation, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Since there's two items here, we had one presentation, but we probably should go forward with one item at a time. So does the board have any questions of staff for item three, which is the amendment to the development order?
I believe so. I just a matter of clarification. Track 17 is now going to be a mix of residential and commercial?
Yes, sir.
I misunderstand that.
Yes, sir. The proposal is to potentially include residential into that mix of those other uses.
Any other questions on item three?
I was reading that it's going to be a septic system here.
No, sir. This is all adjacent to our. There is available central sewer, so they will hook up to the central sewer. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. The applicant has a presentation. Can you limit yours to item three? I don't want to confuse everybody, so.
No, not a problem. Not a problem at all, Chairman. Michael Schmento for the applicant. I thank you. This is the eighth time over the last 12 years we've been here. As Ray said, this has been going on for many, many years and probably into the future. He went over some of the items that the developer has already put in place. He mentioned the $7 million that they contributed to assist our community in getting the Matanzas Overchange interchange passed and constructed. In addition to that, we've created the linear park, which is approximately, I think, 3 miles of boardwalk, sidewalks, paths, and also in their city utilities, water, sewer, fiber, and power. We've been working with the city on their utility department. I think we conveyed approximately, was it a 30-acre site for their utility department. Last year or a year and a half ago, we conveyed to the city approximately a 41-acre park behind just north of the utility plant for their master ball fields. So in this process, going through it over the past 10 years and probably into the next 15, there may be some additional changes to meet the market needs. What we're doing today, again, is to meet the market needs. Since we started this in 2017, probably about two-thirds to, if not 80%, of the parcels have been sold to multiple developers who have already started their horizontal construction. There is a project at the north end where the new interchange started. You've probably seen that, probably about 200-something units, and that's just the first one that come out of the ground. So over the next 12, 18 months, we hope to see some more. But this DRI amendment is merely to provide some flexible uses on the west side of State Road, I'm sorry, on US 1, to ensure that the city has a 100-foot right-of-way down PV Road, maybe into the future to go across the railroad tracks to the west side, and to also provide for an additional residential use on Track 2 adjacent to the school across from the fire station. That is also consistent with the PUD, but that's kind of what we're asking for in this amendment to the DRI. I'll accept any questions, or we can wait till after public comment.
Does the board have any questions of the applicant?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes,
you're going to have to do substation upgrades?
Substation for...
Talking about electrical that's going to go in there?
Well, all the right-of-ways have already been given to FPL, so what they'll do will come in the future. The developer doesn't do those substation upgrades.
Okay, I understand that. I'm just curious if... whatever upgrades are required by you, is that going to already eat into the excess capacity that might be normally available to us, and then we're not going to have that excess capacity for other growth? Or is it going to be totally the additions to still maintain whatever excess capacity exists now?
In the beginning, the project was approved for approximately 3,600 residential units and about 3.5 million square feet. Office, retail, industrial. When we went through that process with the state and the local governments, capacity for water, sewer, electric, roads was all evaluated, and it's in this document. And so these changes are not in addition to, these changes are merely converting some of the uses. And so I think staff and the engineers and applicant agree that this isn't any increase in capacity to those, or level of service to those water, sewer. It's just mixing things around. So your answer is it will not affect or increase any more use of the systems.
As a matter of fact, part of this amendment is a conversion factor that's always been in there, where you can convert some non-residential to residential, and then part of that, before there was no analysis required, with this amendment, we are requiring an analysis for the applicant to come back and, you know, further prove, and we analyze that to make sure that there are no adverse impacts.
Any other questions of the applicant?
My only question was on track, let's see here, 16, that's where the school site was supposed to go. That would be allow for business and institutional areas. It says tracks 14 through 18, and I assume that means 16 included in that.
Yep. Let me clarify that it does not include 16. It was just inadvertent that it went, the notation was from 15 through 18 when 16 should not have been included. Because 16 has been identified as a residential medium density site.
Okay. Now, our 30-acre site is right in that same vicinity.
It is. Correct. And on the updated map with the last amendment that we did, it was identified as a public area.
Okay.
For public use.
If I could just add, I'm sorry, to that, not totally related to that, but we did, you know, we did send an addendum to the planning board that had some additional language, because I know, you know, our city attorneys are looking at the document, and, you know, there may even be some little tweaks just from a legal perspective and language, you know, before we go to city council. You know, nothing substantial such as development or intensities or anything like that will change. If that happens, you know, we would definitely bring it back to planning board. So,
all right. Any other questions from the board? All right. Thank you. This is a public hearing. Same rules apply as to the other one. If you want to speak on this item, and this is just item three, come up, state your name and address for the record, and you'll be limited to 3 minutes. So does any member of the public wish to speak?
I'm not sure where the area is. The maps are located before.
You need to come up to the mic. Sorry.
My name is John Links. I live at 54 La Mancha Drive, Palm Coast, about 17 years. I wasn't clear looking at those maps that they showed up what you're speaking of now. Was it the area in the southwest corner of Tanzas Woods Parkway in Beltair?
I don't believe so. DRI does cover that, but I think the modifications do not affect that one. Is that true, Jose?
That's correct. And I'm trying to pull. I'm sorry, sir. I'm trying to pull the Mac back up, but for some reason the system is freezing up on me.
Actually, I think the gentleman may be speaking about the multifamily project, the master plan that the planning board approved last meeting. I think.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. So.
Did I log out? Take
a second while we get the map up here.
There's a conflict between the clock and any visual display.
Okay.
So when you kill the clock, you can bring back
the clock's dead right now while we wait on the picture, so.
As long as I'm alive.
All right, let me see. I can't even find the...
That's it.
This amendment does not affect 11A and 11B.
Where is 11A and 11B? Is that the southwest corner of Beltair and Matanzas
Yes, sir.
Woods?
Yes, that is the southwest corner of Beltair and Matanzas
Maybe
Woods.
Maybe you want to start your clock. I don't know.
Okay.
You can go ahead with your comments.
Okay. This has been already passed. Is that what we're told by the planning board?
The one that you're speaking of, the southwest corner of Beltair and Matanzas, I believe was approved at our last month's meeting.
Okay. Could you tell me what it specifies? Is it going to be how many apartments there?
I think it was about 280-ish units.
200 and something.
I don't hear any answers.
I think it was about 284 seems to be the number that sticks in my head. I mean, we could look back at the minutes, but yeah, that was last week.
I didn't hear any of the answers.
284 is what I recall from last month's
meeting. What's the
largest
square footage of the apartments they planned there?
I don't know, but that's really not before us right now, sir.
Yeah, that was last month, so unfortunately that is done.
Okay, well, it'll be a boon to the real estate agents there that you'll see for sale properties all in that area, because you got an intersection of two lanes each north and south on Beltair going into one lane on Lakeview each way, and if they turn right or left, it's one lane. They turn left going west, you're going to run into that state-approved boondoggle of a traffic circle, and that's going to take lives the next time there's a fire or a flood evacuation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other member of the public wish to address the board on item 3?
Good evening. Walter DeHart, 37 Lima Lane. I just have some maybe oddball questions. How do we get copies of that map? Where do we go? Where can I get a...
You can...
I don't see well, so it's hard for me to see that. Where can I go and get copies?
Anything
of that?
Like that is actually public record, so you contact the planning department, which you can
go down and see them, and I can get that.
You can go through Mr. Tyner or Mr. Papa, and I'm sure they will help you.
And it's actually online, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, you can download
our website.
Right,
now,
my other
question is, and it has nothing to probably do with your zoning, is like you're bringing a lot of people, you're bringing a lot of housing, apartments, and everything else. Where are these people going to work? Palmco's. I'm just a statement I'm making. Where are they going to go work?
Well,
we don't have that much industry in Palm Coast or Flagler County. So now you have a lot of people coming. Unless they're retired, they have no place to work. The only thing I request to the board is to, this is a very big undertaking, as you can see. And my suggestion is you go slow and think this thing out real good. You're all very intelligent people. You've been in this for a while, so I'm counting on you to just go slow and look at this. The traffic, the construction that's going to be involved, the trucks. When they were building that unit over there on Laramie, I seen nothing but thousands of tractor trailers coming down Beltair Parkway. At the time, why? Why didn't they go on US 1? Because they didn't want to go to the weigh station because they were overloaded. They weighed too much. And you're going by schools and everything else. And just like the traffic, the infrastructure that's going to be needed. It just seems like too much at one time. You know, you want to do this over here a little bit, do this over here a little bit, over here, fine. This here looks like it was a massive undertaking. And I thank you for your time tonight.
All right, thank you. Any other member of the public wish to speak on item 3?
Good evening. I'm Bob Damsma. I live at 12 Bud Hollow, Palm Coast. The apartments that are going up are all one-bedroom apartments. Are these for 55 and over? Nothing's been determined as far as that's concerned. 55 and older, you're going to have mostly kids coming. That with a one-bedroom apartment, they're not going to be able to do that. So it starts putting questions in my mind of, are we talking low-income housing? Are we talking a possibility that that could happen? Now you're taking a school area up there on the north end and subjecting the kids and everybody else that's in that neighborhood and in that area to a lower income, lower type possible, I don't want to say people, but I did. the buildings in total, I mean, why do you have to go to such drastic heights in so many? It doesn't make sense. I know you want to try to get your best bang for your buck, and I can go along with that, but Palm Coast is forgetting and losing sight of Palm Coast. It was a jewel, and it's not turning into a jewel anymore. It's changing. If the apartments are one-bedroom apartments and they are considered 55, or if they're not 55, if they don't all get rented out for some reason, and it's not determined that it's a low housing or low income, is it possible that it could go to a Section 8? Is it going to be something that we have to be concerned with in the future? What's the overall impact of what's going to happen? Police presence. We live up here. We don't have the issues that they do in a lot of the other areas. It's a quieter area. You start bringing in 285 different people into the area, and you're adding more and more. We got the L section, everybody, we're getting slammed with all kinds of housing, which is great, but we've got issues all around. And also, I know there's going to be a park coming up. They're going to try to do tennis courts and family area and stuff like that. And I believe I know the area that they're talking is right next to the firehouse. I'm vehemently opposed to that because what's going to, you're right next to the residential neighborhood with the lights and everything that are going to happen. It just seems like too much, too quick. I don't think enough thought's been put into this.
All right.
So please reconsider or consider all the issues that are put in front of you.
Thank you.
And I thank you for the time.
I need to specify one thing is the apartment project that you're talking about was at a previous board meeting. So this action tonight has nothing to do with that. And that, and as I remember from last month, there were some one-bedroom apartments, but they're not all one-bedroom apartments. And they're not... there's no tax credit. It was a market rate apartment. So,
well, according to the Observer, and I know not everything is true in the paper, but they said they were all one bedroom apartments. 285.
Can you weigh in on that, Ray?
Yeah, they are definitely, they weren't one bedroom apartments, and they were market rate.
Yeah. I even asked one to three.
So, one, two, three bedrooms.
Okay.
And they were market rate, so they're not. There's no tax subsidy.
Market rate in a gated area too.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, right. Are these like apartments that have been done here at Town Center or anything like that? Same.
Well, it's a different developer, so
different developer. You know,
same. I would assume it'll be similar. I mean, there aren't that many varieties of apartments, but yeah. But again, tonight's action has nothing to do with that. That was previously adopted by the board. So sorry,
I never got notified of that one. But yeah. Okay.
Right. Well, thank you very much, though.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on item three?
Hi, good evening. My name is Amy. I'm a resident of the B section. While I understand you're saying the action going on the other tract on Matanzas and Belterre has nothing to do with what we're listening to, talking about tract 22, it actually, I would respectfully disagree, where it does have something to do with the development out in the L and the B section neighborhood, because it affects our quality of life in Palm Coast. As the young lady mentioned, who left after she got her approval, that this is quiet, sleepy, old school Florida, which is why most of us came to live in Palm Coast and Flagler County. So yes, sir, it does affect what we're talking about. Mr. Tyner, you mentioned, I'm not CDR, MDR, and all these fancy terms, but really what we're talking about here is massive development going on in out by the B and the L section, which will have an impact on the residents of the area, including the development that's planned for the golf course. Whether that's gone through or not, I don't know. But I urge all of you to please think about the people that have joined this community and been here so long, since 2000 and before. And you're saying this project, this study, was done in 2004. That was right before the boom of the area. And everything was approved, but was it approved considering all that has happened since? And the homes that were built since then? I mean, you have to respect some of the taxpayers, all the taxpayers, and what you are planning and how it affects these people who live in this community. You're talking about a 285 unit consisting of one, two, and three bedrooms. That could be 1,000 something people. Now you're talking about a development across the firehouse. How many homes? We don't know. How many people? We don't know. You have the development on Matanzas Woods and the golf course. So this is a problem. This is a problem for safety. We don't have enough police officers as it is. This is a problem for the firemen? I mean, these are all resources that the community will have to support, and that in turn will cause a tax increase. And you're talking about a tax increase on mostly retired folks. So please, as you consider this development, as others have mentioned, just considering the people on Coast and Flagler County.
All right.
It's much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments on this item?
Yeah, hi, I'm Michael Labuti from the L section. I don't know which one we're talking about right now, but I believe I heard Mr. Tyner say that what he's proposing is not changing the residency thing. From what I read before, it used to be 36, now it's going to 4,600 homes. That's a change, a big change. Everybody here seems to be high density everything. I live in the L section where you want to change the golf course. High density. Behind my house, unless you guys do something to change it, he wants his lots 45 feet wide. I'd have three houses behind my house. There's no land shortage in Palm Coast. There's a road shortage. There'll be a water shortage. There'll be a heck of a lot of traffic jams if you continue doing high density or apartments. It only leads to higher taxes and more drains on the city. I like quiet neighborhoods. That's why I moved here. I moved to a golf course, which we're not talking about now. I'll be there tomorrow. But you got to think about these things. We all moved here knowing what conditions were there. You're changing them on us after the fact, which is wrong. You know, if you move next to an industrial complex, you knew it was there, shame on you. I moved next to a golf course or whatever, or a park or whatever. I know it's there. Don't now change it into multifamily housing, apartment complexes, an industrial site. It's wrong. That's not what I moved here for. And then you're forcing me to move to go somewhere else where I can live how I want to. I want to see any one of you do that. And that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wish to address the board? Oh, one more.
Lori Savoca, 69 Buttermill Drive. I just wanted to say my main concern is the tract across from the firehouse. Last year we were up here for rezoning for a gas station. Now this year we're up here rezoning and they tell me it's supposed to be townhouses. What's the density going to be on the townhouses? Is there an actual plan for the townhouses? That's what I'd like to know. You know, that was originally zoned for business, industrial, retail, whatever. We have no business in that area. Not that I want a gas station directly across the street from my house. But again, are we going to be back here next year for another rezoning once this is passed? And it looks like you guys have already made up your mind anyway. So I thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Hi, Linda Little, 45 Londonderry Drive. I heard something about they are planning another school. Is that right? Because I'm very concerned about the overcrowding in the school if we add all these houses. And also, I know we're not talking about it today, but I didn't know that the 284 apartment had already passed. We weren't notified about a meeting for that I saw. Can you tell me where that's going to be? Because I'm on Londonderry right behind the golf course is right behind my house, and I'm very concerned about that. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other? We'll try to get to a couple answers. Anybody else want to address the board?
Hi, my name is Becky Mitchell, and I live on Butterfield Drive. Just to reiterate, we just want you guys to take your time thinking about these kind of things. I've run a business in this town for a long time. It's a youth soccer organization. My place of propriety is at Wadsworth Park on 100. but I live out in the area that you guys are talking about. And one of the things that most of the neighbors here or not here this evening are discussing, it's all over social media, they're very worried about putting all these apartments in because of the fact that there is no work here. The people that work at Walmart have very little hours. They're part-time. There's no benefits. They don't support 40-hour a week jobs here in town anymore like they used to when we first moved here 22 years ago. It's a total different, things are turning totally different due to economics or whatever thing. The people that are in my organization right now, a lot of them are financially challenged that live here. They've either lost jobs or they're supporting their kids, children. They don't have money. Right now, I offer reduced rates for people because they can't afford, because they don't have enough. So I'm just wondering where this influx of people that are going to be moving into our community, how they're going to support themselves. I mean, I don't know whether they're going to be people that are moving here from up north that sold their house for $1 million and now they're deciding to come here. But the thing that worries us is our quality of our area going to go downhill when maybe things aren't taken care of as well as they should be because people cannot sustain. There's 1 million houses in town that are for sale now. And they're constantly building and building and building and building. And I'm all for growth and technology and all those things, but in the proper, as long as it's done in the proper way and tastefully to what's here for the community. I moved here from a very crowded place a long time ago to give my kids a better opportunity and better quality of life. And now I see it's changing with houses going up for sale everywhere and people, a lot of people just cannot afford. And like I said, I have a lot of people that play sports. I try to keep kids on playgrounds out of prison. The parents cannot afford. I keep my rates really, really low so that those people can afford, and we make up the rest of what they can't by local sponsors in the community. And that is even running low now because mom-and-pop businesses aren't being supported here. So please be cautious. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Sure, come forward.
Hi, my name is Rick Lees. I live on Ludlow Lane. First of all, who's going to support everything? The schools, besides the taxpayer. Also, the public notice signs that people are putting up are not staying up, so nobody knows that there was. If you're driving to Belterra, there is no notice up there now, across from the firehouse. It's been down, and nobody knows about these things. Last month, I was told I should have had a letter mailed to me about things. It was never mailed. People that were here said they never got a letter. So is this all being pushed behind us, behind our backs? Last month, I was told, yeah, sit down, we'll wait, talk to the developer after the meeting. The developers ran the hell out of here like a bolt of lightning. They didn't want to talk to me. I mean, you know, come on now. Let's stop and think. There's no building, there's no jobs. Walmart, in the next month or two, is doing away with more cashiers. They're putting in more of the automatic cash registers. So, I mean, you know, there's people losing jobs all over the place. And you want to put more housing in? Who's going to pay for the schooling? Where are we going to get a police department or more sheriffs here? And you're going to throw it on the taxpayer? Let the builders pay for all this stuff. They want to build, let them pay for it. That's all I'm asking. Let the poor taxpayer go, the retired citizens go, and let them pay for it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? All right, seeing no one approach, we will close the public hearing. Come back, maybe, Ray, you can answer some of these. There's a concern about, well,
I think I got a list.
Yeah, first it was, you know, the other residents considered when all this was done. Maybe you can explain the DRI process just quickly. Taken into consideration.
Yeah, let me try that, and I'll try to address some things because the first one on my list was traffic.
and I'll probably cover a few things by talking about the development of regional impact. The development of regional impact, again, was a not just a study, but it was actually an application for development, so to speak. And that is reviewed by, I'm not going to name all the different agencies that are part of that, but part of that, you know, they propose a certain density and a certain intensity, meaning, you know, how much commercial, how many residential units. And then just for an example, for the Florida Department of Transportation, they look at what those impacts are going to be on the road. It's not just the city's traffic engineer, it's the Florida Department of Transportation, it's the Northeast Regional Planning Council that look at what those impacts are on those trips. They come up with the model methodology, and then they come up of that the developer, you know, has to pay, you know, pay as you go kind of concept. So what they ended up doing is paying, you know, over $7 million, including that every residential house that is built in this Palm Coast Park area or, you know, multifamily project, they have to pay a transportation impact fee on top of what they paid. So those impacts, such as transportation, you know, those are taken care of on what this built out is for this project, for this 30-year project. Same thing with the schools. You know, looking at how much a build-out would generate for the school. And the school board, you know, Flagler County Schools, they were part of this process from the beginning. They had donated a future school site. That was part of the developer's obligation. And not only in addition to providing those lands for that school board site, but they also, each individual home that is being constructed out there will also, on top of that, pay the transportation impact fee. So those, you know, the concept of pay as you go. And I will tell you, you know, there's a certain unit threshold as part of this DRI. If you go over that with one single family home, you got to go back to the school board and talk with them about, you know, coming up with some sort of agreement if you're going to exceed what this development of regional impact is. So, you know, hopefully that clears up some things with that. And as far as, you know, nothing's changed with this, that meaning there is and has always been a conversion factor within the development of regional impact where you have commercial intensity and residential and non-residential. The DRI allows for the ability to convert. You know, if the market, you know, nowadays, you know, a lot of people are going online, you know, to do their shopping for you know, Cyber Friday instead of doing the, you know, the bricks and mortar type of commercial. So what happens is that, you know, there's ability to convert that commercial to residential units, as long as you're surpassing the number of the school board residential units. I mean, you can without, you know, you have to adjust for those impacts, but that has always been in a convert. You can increase the trips. There's an analysis that we have put in this modification to require analysis to show that you're not actually going to generate more impacts, for example, for the road system, for example, for the utilities. And, you know, each individual, when site plans come in during Jose's presentation, you know, there's more than the gist step. This is the 35,000-foot level. When site plans come in, you know, the city is not paying for these lines. The developer is coming in for example, for the residential units that are going on in Sawmill right now. They are paying for those sewer lines. They are paying for the utility lines, and then they will donate those to the city. Those impacts, not only the utility fees that are required, but they're also going to build those roads. They are going to, you know, build that infrastructure for that. Let me see. Got to get this up.
Maybe you could
more
address
questions.
The notification.
Yeah, the notification, we actually, you know, the city of Palm Coast is a little bit unique in that we do require notifications to the public, not only for rezonings, but also for site plans and other criteria within our land development code. A lot of municipalities would only go with the legal requirements of posting the ad in the paper, doing the nice yellow signs or the orange signs and those type things, but we actually go above and beyond and require a neighborhood meeting. Right now, within our code, it calls for a 300-foot radius, 300 feet from where their proposed impacts are for the modification or rezoning to the adjacent property line. So we do require, it's 300 feet. We follow the code. That's what the code is existing for that. Also want to call out a little bit about, I think someone was talking about the different housing types and you know, the multifamily and those type of things. And, you know, the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board also sits as the land planning agency by state statute with consistency of the comprehensive plan. And I will say that our future land use map element, along with our housing element, really has some strong policy and calls out diversity of housing types. As you know, when this was approved in 2004, prior to this approval in 2004, you had approximately 47,000 platted single-family homes that were, you know, a quarter acre. You know, that's what IT&T did. That's what the plan was when IT&T was here. When we became a city, the vision of our comp plan with the numerous, back in 2004, when our, or 2003, 2004, around that area when our comprehensive plan was approved, the vision was for a diversity of housing. We had some strong policies within our comprehensive plan to provide more than just single family homes. You know, not that, you know, and so the vision of Palm Coast Park was that first mixed use subdivision to look for that diversity of housing types. You know, there's a lot of school teachers, there's a lot of firefighters, there's a lot of nurses, there's a lot of teachers who can't afford to have a 1 acre or a quarter acre home, but this provides a diversity of different housing types for those folks, for those teachers, for those folks that can have a very diversity. You mentioned about the 40-foot lots. Well, you know, again, a diversity in different housing choices. There's a lot of people that really don't want to cut their grass. There's folks who are aging who would like a smaller lot than a quarter acre lot to maintain. So, you know, our comprehensive plan really does call out providing a diversity of houses along with being consistent with our existing neighborhoods. You know, we did a lot of work in the Matanzas, a little off subject, but Matanzas area itself had a lot of multifamily that we inherited from the county that we, you know, did a lot of rezonings to single family for those multifamilies. So the areas where the multifamily is proposed in this in Palm Coast Park, you're adjacent to a major arterial roadway, one of the criteria that calls out and cites for these multifamily projects. You know, the ones that are proposing along Belterre, along a major arterial, not going through neighborhoods, not going through existing neighborhoods, but actually going on those major arterial roads. Mr. Chairman, did I cover most?
I think so. The only thing maybe was jobs, but you know, a lot of people work from home now. That's kind of the way our society has gone. Yeah, they do. People work online from home, and there's not going to be an argument about it. But I'm just telling you that not everybody has to have a job that wants to buy a home or live in an apartment.
Or it could be a commute city, too. People go to Augustine
or could be
St. Augustine,
somewhere else.
Jacksonville, they're commuting back and forth.
Oh, all right. We are back to the board. Are there any questions from the board? If not, what is the board's pleasure?
I move to approve agenda item.
Application 4165.
Papa, you want to put the motion back up?
Application number 4165.
Second.
Is there a second? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Just to be clear, this is an amendment to that, there's some conversion language, and no additional entitlements or anything that wasn't already approved.
Correct.
Just want to be clear on that.
All right. Any other questions? All right.
May I
Irene?
Make a question? I was just going to ask if the board member making the motion wanted to include that the finding that or that the count. All right, I apologize.
That's okay. I'm
trying to work through being a little bit sick. If you wanted to include the language that you also find that based on the staff report and the testimony and evidence presented, that the request meets the applicable provisions of the Land Development Code and is consistent with the comp plan, which is on the...
Agenda item 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Right, it's right
in front of your screen there.
It's over there.
The top.
Agenda item number 3.
I'm going to leave it. Motion to approve agenda item number 3 as written with staff's recommendation.
Thank you.
Second. Oh, okay. There is a second. Would you call the roll, Irene?
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Mr. Dolmy.
Yes.
Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Mr. DeMaria.
Yes.
Mr. Olsner.
Yes.
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
The motion carries 7-0.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to item 4, which is the amendment to the Master Plan Development Agreement, which covers most of the same thing. And the staff gave its presentation to cover both, so I think we're down to the applicant's presentation on item 4. None? You're good? Okay. Does the board have any questions of the applicant on this item? Okay. We'll open the public hearing for item number 4. If you'd like to speak on that, come forward, state your name and address, and limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Olney, 78 Butterfield Drive. We live in one of the houses closest to Track 22. And I want to first acknowledge we have seen some benefits. The gentleman that represents the developers has mentioned the Matanzas Road interchange, and I want to come saying we do see there are some good things, but there are also concerns. Mr. Tyner, when he made his presentation about the DRI at the beginning of this, one of the things he said about the 2004 agreement was that it gave the developers certain assurances of what they could and could not expect to use the land for. We, as the residents here, I think wanting some of those same assurances. A previous speaker mentioned that a year ago an amendment for Track 22 was for a gas station. Now it's for apartments. Much as the developers are wanting some sort of stability in what they can expect, we as the residents just ask you as the board to help us to have some same confidence in what we can expect to see in this development area. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other member of the public wish to speak on item 4? Sure.
Yes, good evening, folks. My name is Roland Cruz. I'm a resident of B section. I'm trying not to go over things you've already heard. My prime concern about development in Palm Coast is quality of life. I don't think there's anybody in this room that's not concerned with quality of life if you're all Palm Coast residents. As one of the other speakers said previously, one of the reasons why I moved here is for quality of life. I fell in love with Palm Coast because of the ambiance and the beauty, and I did choose to live in the B section because I love the ambiance. I came from a big city. I grew up in a mixed cultural neighborhood. I can tell you what population density can do to the mind, to the person. I'm not against progress. As one of the other speakers came up before and said, progress, yes, go slow. I urge everybody to go slow. It's a lot of development in a little bit of time. I'm concerned with safety. I'm concerned with public service, how it's going to affect us. And if these apartments do turn into what I know is Section 8, who's going to take up the slack on the costs? As one of the other speakers here said, if everybody doesn't have a job, you know, you're going to fill up a lot of apartments with people who have to go work elsewhere. So there are concerns. I don't have any young children, but if anybody has children or nieces or nephews, that's a concern, especially close to the school districts that we live in. I served as a law enforcement officer for 31 years in two different agencies up north, and I can tell you, I've worked in some of the crappiest neighborhoods in those districts, and I worked in some of the wealthiest neighborhoods. I've had the privilege of doing both. I've seen what quality of life means and what it can do. And as you said before, but that group seeking the variance on there, and you made a very valid point, and I nodded in agreement about the noise. I can tell you that thing about music, that's something I wouldn't have approved. And true, if they wanted to do it later on, they should have to come back, because that's part of what progress is. I think everybody would agree with that, right? What was good then may not be good now. What wasn't good then, you know, could be good in the future. I'm just worried about quality of life. If I have to leave Palm Coast, I will try to seek another place that was the way this was when I first moved here. And I, no matter what nationality, what race you are, I think we all have a common denominator. We want to live in tranquility. We want quality for ourselves and our families, should our families choose to stay here. That's my prime concern. So I just ask you to consider that for whatever approvals you make, and the density of the housing and how it could affect you, not only you know, your crime, your access to services, and things like that. So,
right.
I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other comments on item number four?
The Otley Moline. Just two questions. We talked about the developer with fire stations, police, and all that. And that's all good, but once again, the taxpayer down the road is going to have to sustain that. My other question is, in this area of all this building and all that, how many of you live up there? Yeah. Raise your hand. How many of you live there?
I'd like to know that. Say none.
No, huh? Let's show that for the record. You already made up your mind. Let's face it, come on. Yeah. You know, this is a, you know, from what I see. Yeah. But none of you live there. You know? And if it wasn't through... what is that thing you're on?
Facebook.
Next door neighbor. Yeah. If it wasn't for next door neighbor, I would never known about this. So the word is not getting out, because I'm sure this place would have been packed. So I don't know if it's deliberate, misinformative. Maybe we're ignorant in how to get the information. I don't know. But none of you live there. Just remember that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else on item four?
I'm not sure what item four is.
Item four is the master plan development agreement. It's the actual zoning agreement. The first one was more land, overall land use. The second one is more specific to zoning, which gets a little more specific on criteria. But again, it's an amendment to an existing document. So it's already there and allow certain things. This is just an amendment to certain things. Maybe Ray, you can jump in there. So.
Jose, yeah, that's one of the tracks.
Yes.
I don't think they heard Jose's response.
Oh, sorry, I didn't.
Sure, know. The zoning amendment itself does affect track 22 and along with three other tracks on US 1.
On US 1.
Yes.
Okay.
And track 22, that's on US
1? No. Let me be clear again. It does affect track 22, which is on Belterre Parkway, and three tracks on US 1.
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Again, Bob Dansmith. Well, but hollow. I just really want you guys to really think about what's going on and what's going to happen. I have an eight and a half year old little girl, and it's going to be different in that area. I'm concerned for her safety, my safety, and the safety of all my neighbors. With everything that's going to be going on, the construction itself is going to be killer. I know it. We've seen it. And just when you start looking at what you're going to do up on this end, and I understand it's the B section and the L's and the C, think about what has happened and what's going on in the P section, the R sections. Just think about that. Look at what's been going on. Look at police presence, the need for the police to be in those areas a lot more than what we have. Us hearing sirens is more like the fire department just going out, testing their sirens. It's not a big deal. Things have been changing because, you know, we're getting some of the improvements up in our area, I guess. But just consider what you're doing. Don't let this all go nuts. Keep Palm Coast the way Palm Coast was supposed to be when it started. That's all.
All right. Thank you very much. Anyone else on item four?
Good evening, Board. My name is Matt Spence. I'm at 38 Bickwick Lane. Just a couple, my comments, I guess, are more along the lines of some of the commercial-related aspects to this. It seems like there's a lot of commercial space that is coming up. There's a Butte Lake development that is over by Pitts Glass, a little south of US 1 and Palm Coast Parkway. There seems to be a lot of development between Palm Coast Parkway on 1 and Royal Palms. A lot of that is empty, has been empty for some time. This is, you know, obviously there's been zoning for this for almost 15 years that is, you know, now stuff is getting cleared out, commercial stuff is coming in there. One of the things that seems to be consistent recently is that there's a lot of news. Some business is coming in, everybody gets excited, and then for some reason, those employers seem to fairly consistently pull away from projects in Palm Coast. I'm a 44-year-old. That seems to be pretty discouraging for people, certainly my generation. I've got a sixth grader. I wonder if she's going to be able to find jobs in this immediate area. The other thing I'm curious about is, are there tax incentives for some of this commercial development that is approved that ultimately people are putting up these buildings that are shells that are not rented out, where they get the incentives, they come in, they've got an asset that's going to grow in value, and then they're writing off losses because they're not renting out that space. So just a concern more from a business standpoint. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Anyone else care to address the board on item four? Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing and come back to the board. Ray, can you address the tax incentive thing? I'm not aware of any other than maybe in Town Center.
I mean, as far as Palm Coast Park, we don't, for commercial, we don't issue any tax incentives.
Right. That's what I thought. All right, thank you. Any questions from the board? All right, does someone want to offer a motion?
Move to approve agenda item number four.
Right here.
Application 4171, as staff's written.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Let me just say one thing also. This is not the end of the road. Both these items go on to the City Council. So everyone, whether pro or con, will have the ability to address the City Council on both of these.
And could I add... Could I add also, Ray, for perspective sake, the timeline of construction and development, this has been going slow. I mean, this has been going on since 2004. So, I mean, I empathize, and you guys should express how you feel, but please understand we can only vote upon what is put in front of us within the guidelines that we have to adhere to. It's not that we don't care about the commercial development that's going unused down at US 1. We do care, but we can only consider what we can consider as board members here. And I just want to make that clear.
All right.
Well, it's
the public comment is closed, so we're back to the board now.
You can go to the Palm Coast City website and download in advance of these meetings the full agenda, including all the maps and everything you saw there. And if you really want to study up on this stuff, keep your eye on that website, get that information, and you know, information is power. It's there, and it's very easy to get to, I promise you.
I can get to it.
All right. Thank you. If there are no other questions, Irene, would you call the roll?
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Mr. Dolny.
Yes.
Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Mr. DeMaria.
Yes.
Mr. Ulstern.
Yes.
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
The motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. Ray, are there any issues, any other items from staff?
No, I would just say, and we will let you know on Friday, that we most likely will not have a planning board meeting on the 18th. We did have two items that were kind of working on, didn't quite make it. And then we have something from the BAC that wanted to come present to y'all, comp plan related, land development code related. So they'll probably end up moving probably to January, but I will let you know. So most likely we will not have a meeting on the 18th.
All right.
And if we don't, Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah, whatever, everything. So,
okay. Move to adjourn.
The motion to adjourn, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're adjourned.